Did you hear that? Did you hear it call out your name and wake you from the slumber of your night or your life? Are you ready to meet your moment? Are you ready to hear exactly what it has to say to you, even if it doesn't make any sense? This is Lena Ski, and welcome to another exciting, enthralling, everything edition of the Supernova podcast. I am so grateful you're here, and I think you're just gonna love today's podcast. We have a very special guest. I've just adopted her as my soul sister, and today's podcast is all about that. It's about stepping in, surrendering, and listening to the greatness within you unfold. Hi, Marissa. Welcome to the Supernova podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. Thank you. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks so much for connecting and for reaching out. Like, when I started reading your story on your page, it was like, am I reading my story or am I reading your story? It just resonated so much with me.
Wow.
And I think in that moment where we'll speak into it in a little bit, where you kind of just awakened to just meeting your moment and you started getting these messages. It's like, okay, now I actually have to start doing something with this because this voice is getting louder in my head, and just going out there and taking the plunge. And I think that's so important. And that's one of the big reasons why I started the Supernova podcast. It was me getting over my own fear of putting myself out there, but it was also just because there was such a craving on such a global scale with people saying, like, I want to be putting myself out there, I want to be meeting my moment, and I don't know where to begin. So connecting with a lot of different people who are going through that process, who have gone through that process, I mean, it's constantly evolving. I think that's really special. So I'm so grateful that you're here.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Brilliant. Well, let's start off exactly with that. Like, you mentioned that you'd gone through all the courses, you were doing all the work, mm-hmm. and it's so easy to get kind of tucked into doing all the work to get yourself out there, which doesn't actually mean anything mm-hmm. at some point in time. And then something happened for you, and that shifted. Can you speak into that?
Sure. I had been spending a few years really looking at the whole area of how I can bring my message out to the world. What was I here to contribute, and how could I most effectively reach people? And because of my current lifestyle, I knew that I needed to do something that was on the internet, not necessarily a business that was in a particular city or a particular place. So I was focusing on relationships originally, because many of my friends and family have really recognized the relationship that I've created with my husband, and have often asked me for advice on how to create that kind of a relationship for themselves. And so I thought that was where the direction I was supposed to be taking. So I was starting to work on creating some products for that and information that I could share with people. And somehow I still felt like I was going in different directions and going around in circles, and looking at how could I create an opportunity for myself to share this with people in a powerful way. And so I'm starting to look at, you know, different names that I could have for this business, and doing brainstorming and pages and looking up domains, and they were all taken. And so I kept feeling like I was getting to dead ends. And then I thought, well, perhaps my message is for parents and children, because my background is in education. I spent, over 30 years in education. I had my own alternative holistic elementary school, and I have a real passion for children and parents. So mm-hmm. I started thinking, well, maybe that's the direction I meant to go in. And at one point, I was just feeling frustrated, because I thought, here I am, I'm in a position where I'm ready, willing, and able to put myself out there and to contribute my unique gifts and talents with others in a way that can empower them to be their best selves. And yet, I wasn't sure what door to walk through. I just felt like there were all these doors in front of me, and I'm like, I don't really know. So there was a moment where I just kind of put my hands in the air to the universe, God, whomever you want to call it. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to stop trying to figure this out. And I'm not going to get caught up in the doing or in my head. I'm just going to sit back and wait. And if there's something I'm here to do, then you need to show it to me, and it needs to be clear. I don't want to try to guess at it. It's got to be loud and clear. So I stopped, and it was difficult for me to do that because, as I mentioned in my website, I've spent thousands of dollars on courses and all kinds of things to get to this point in several years in the process, and then I'm like putting on the brakes. So that was a difficult and scary place to be, but I knew I needed to do it. And so I think it was only 2 days, maybe 3 days after that, I was awakened in the middle of the night. And when I woke up, I didn't realize it was the middle of the night. I thought, because I was so wide awake, I was sure the sun was about to rise and I was going to get up anyways. But it was interesting when I looked at the clock, it said 3:33.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that kind of made me take a step back, and I thought, oh, I've heard that number, 333, is supposed to be pretty significant. I thought that's kind of interesting, and I would never be awake at that hour. So I thought, well, this is interesting. And my first thought was, okay, I'll play. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm up for it. So I got myself out of bed, and I went into, you know, another room, and I sat at my computer. And I thought, well, I'll just start journaling. I don't know what else to do. I'm sitting here in the middle of the dark and the middle of the night. So I decided to just start typing, and I did. I started journaling. And before I knew it, I realized I wasn't really thinking the thoughts that I was typing. Mm-hmm. And it startled me. So I stopped in the middle of a sentence, and I was typing with my eyes closed on the keyboard because I'm a typist. Mm-hmm. And I realized, oh, wait a minute. And I started asking, what's going on? What's going on? Is this me? Is it something else? And I'm just, you know, my mind was fully engaged now. And then I thought, well, okay, if this is coming from somewhere, I mean, I'll just see if I trust this, if I continue. So I said, okay, if this is real and if this is something I'm supposed to be doing, I took a few deep breaths and I said, okay, I'm ready, continue. And I started, you know, typing some more. And it was kind of like a dictation. When some, you know, people ask me, well, what was it like? I said, it's kind of like if somebody's dictating a letter to you and you're just typing along, but you don't know what they're going to say next. That was kind of how it came through. Mm-hmm. So when I was finished and it stopped, there was no more words.
Were you processing the words as?
Actually, no, I was just.
Sorry, were you processing the words?
Mm-hmm. Processing them as I was reading or hearing them?
Yeah, as you were hearing
really.
Them.
It was. I wasn't really, it was almost, because I was, I don't know if I was in a meditative state or what state I was in. I just kind of typed. I was doing my best to keep my mind out of it. Mm-hmm. So, because I know my mind can really interfere a lot. So I didn't want to go there and start analyzing. So I don't think so. I think I just kept going, and because it flowed so quickly, I just kept typing. I don't think I had time really to process any of it at that time. Mm-hmm. But when it was finished, I went back and read it, and I thought, I wonder if I'll find a sentence that sounds off because of when I stopped, if it's something's not going to flow. And to my surprise, there was nothing that made it. It all made sense. It just flowed beautifully.
Oh wow!
So the next, when my husband woke up, I shared with him what had happened, and I read him what came through, and I was a little nervous because this has never happened to me before. I it's not like this is, you know, the second, third, fifth time it's happened. Mm-hmm. So I just read it without even looking up because I was a little self-conscious. And when I looked up after reading it, I saw tears coming down his face.
Oh, wow.
And it had touched him that deeply. And he said, I think you wrote that, or that came through for me. And
really?
I thought, wow. And then so I thought, well, maybe that was all that was. It was a message that came through for him. But then this started happening every night. I was waking up between 3 and 5 in the morning consistently. Some days not, but, you know, quite regularly. And I just would go into the living room, turn on my computer, take a few deep breaths, say, okay, I'm ready. And another message would come through. And it was pretty fascinating. And I guess, and then I came back to Canada. I have an interesting life story, but I travel a lot. So there was a time period when I wasn't really in a space that I could take down these messages. I didn't have private space to do that. Mm-hmm. So there were weeks, months in between when nothing came through, and then they would start again. So, and then there was like an ending to this, and I realized, and what's really interesting is I didn't go back and read, you know, the previous message before I wrote the next one. So I didn't know what any of these messages really, if they were going to be, I wasn't sure what they were going to be. Is it a book? Is it blog posts? Like, I don't know. But when I went back to the beginning and started reading them, they were all in an order that made sense. And that was really a book.
Oh, wow.
And a process. So it was like every message came with an exercise. And there was a theme, you know, with all the messages as well. So, and what's interesting, you know, when I read that first message to a couple other people that I, you know, trust and I wanted to share with, everyone that heard it said they felt it was written for them, which was really interesting too. So I thought, okay, there's a universal message here for people that speaks to them wherever they're at.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, literally, it was the message that you were downloading or channeling or bringing out into the world. And then you also had this physical, like, 333 presence that came out.
Yes.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, it was very powerful. So, I the book is in the process of being edited, and I have Reverend Ann doing the foreword, which I'm really excited about. And I'm not sure when it's going to go out at the moment, but I'm offering the first six messages complimentary as a gift through my website. And I can see, you know, the whole process being more than just a book even, because it's a process that I can see helping people through with group coaching or individual coaching, because there's a lot there. And it's for me too. Trust me, I've been going through the messages myself. This is not just, you know, for other people. I've been getting a lot and journeying a lot as I've been going through the messages and working through the exercises myself. They're really, really powerful.
It's really amazing. And as I was kind of saying earlier, like, there was a part of me that really resonated with that, because I've been kind of really connecting with this whole idea of the supernova experience. And I'm like, before I used to kind of talk about it like stepping into greatness or stepping into like a supernova experience. And I always realized that in that space, I was always chasing it. Like, I could never actually step into it, or I could never actually own it, because I was constantly like, tomorrow I'm going to be in it, tomorrow I'm going to be in it, next week, and blah, blah, blah. And that shift, when I kind of actually grounded myself, I'm like, okay, obviously there's work that needs to be done, and a flower needs to flourish, but I'm just going to own the experience for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I had similar kind of things, not like, you know, a book come through, but, you know, there'd be moments where I wanted to create a template and I'm just like, I have no idea how to do this. Mm-hmm. And just surrendering to that force, like, I came up with a 12-page template of things I've never considered in business, because I'm not a business coach. I've sat in on a lot of business coaching sessions, so I do have that knowledge. But it was just like, where does all this information come from? And that's, I think, the most exciting thing, because we look at our purpose as careers we've done or interests we have, but it's actually so much deeper than that, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's true, because so many people are looking for why am I here? What's my life purpose? And there's so many books written about that. And, you know, that came through as well. And really, I believe the key to life is really to live your life from a place of passion and from your heart. And there's not a particular thing that you need to do or that we're meant to do. We just have so many choices and options. And the key is, if you're feeling happy and at peace, then you're on purpose.
Can I call your experience a channeling of sorts?
Well, it could be.
How would you name it?
I guess so, because, I mean, I don't know a lot about channeling. It's certainly not, I wasn't in a trance. Like, I know some people say they channel certain entities or whatever. I'm not sure where the information is coming from. Maybe that will be revealed to me at another time. Because I've talked to other people that have had messages come through, and they said for years they didn't know where it was coming from, and then they knew. So this is another one of those times for me to just trust that, you know, I'll be told whatever I need to know at the right and perfect time, and I don't have to know exactly where it's coming from, because the messages speak for themselves.
But then how's this process, this channeling, this experience, whatever it is for you, how has that grounded you and taken, you know, all the money that you've invested into so many different things and all the different angles and doors that you were chasing? How's that brought that all together for you? Or was it something new and completely different for you?
Well, this particular process was new. I guess what it did was it helped me to realize that it's not about chasing, like you were saying. You were you know, waiting and chasing for the moment of the supernova experience instead of recognizing and owning that you already are it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Many of us are running around chasing after something when it's within us all along. It never went anywhere. We just, you know, we just started looking outside of ourselves instead of within ourselves to find it. And I think that's what it's really helped me do, to really recognize that there's nothing out there. It's all within me, and I create from that place. And yeah, everything's perfect. It's like there's a meaning to everything, and I can see the blessing in everything that happens, no matter what. Even all the running around and all the years that I've been, you know, searching for what am I here to do, that helps me also understand other people that are going to be going through the same thing. All my life experiences have given me wisdom that can help me help others.
No, definitely. I mean, as you say, it gives you that understanding of what they're going through. And also, I mean, there were lessons you had to learn through that process yourself.
Absolutely.
And you may not have gotten to have these messages come through to you if you hadn't had gone through that experience, or had you not surrendered.
Absolutely. And that's the key. I mean, all our experiences, mostly the traumatic and the most difficult ones, really are the biggest lessons for us.
Very, very true. And I think there's also that power in surrender. And a lot of people, I think, still, I mean, it's such a buzzword right now, like, let's all just surrender and, like, be at peace and, and hug a tree. And it's got so many different energies about it right now.
It does.
But I think there's still a lot of people who kind of look at it as, like, surrender is a give-up thing.
I was just going to say that. They think it's giving up. Not sure what's happened. Can you hear me?
Marissa, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello?
What just happened there? Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi. I don't know what happened.
Hi. That was very strange. I could hear you. Very strange. It's energy. Well, apparently there's some weird astrological energy happening. So we can blame
it on
that.
We were talking about surrender.
We just have to kind of surrender into the pause, into the silence.
That's right.
Into not knowing of what the answer is to surrender. Clearly that was our answer, wasn't it?
That was funny. I'm not sure. Are we live now or?
We're back recording, yeah.
We're back recording. Yeah, it was interesting about the surrender, because there was a situation right there that I needed to surrender. I was here thinking, okay, do I hang up and try you back on another line? So that's what I did. I wasn't quite sure. But we're back. But you were talking about how people, when we talk about surrender, they think it's a giving up. And and you and I both know that's not the case at all. It's a letting go of the control and trying to make it all work. Because what I've learned is the more I try to control circumstances, the less control I really have and the more anxiety I feel, because I don't know the bigger picture. And if I just let go and surrender and allow the energy and my higher, you know, I learned this from one of my mentors, to call, you know, angels or guides your higher realm support team. I love that term.
Oh, no, that's beautiful.
If I invite them in, then they can't really do their work and help me if I'm too busy trying to take over everything with my limited knowledge. So the surrender for me is really all about trust. They go together, because if we don't have trust that, you know, our guides, angels, higher self really do want the best for us and will guide us in the right and perfect place at all times, then you can't surrender if you don't trust that.
And just as you were saying that, this kind of image came up for me of, you know, there's this one exercise where you need to trust somebody and you just let yourself fall into another person's arms.
Yes, I've done
and
that.
And a lot of people struggle with that because you don't know what the other person, whether or not they can catch you. And obviously it's a trust in other people's thing. But
Absolutely.
We're talking about trust in a different way, because people's trust to other people is a whole different dynamic. But people's trust to themselves is something that you're really never going to let yourself fall. You're never going to really let yourself get burned. You're going to want to thrive in every kind of situation. You know, you've got your fear and flight things. That's always going to try and protect you in that thing. So what is it that you're really afraid of? Because you're already your best friend. You're already your protector.
I think part of it is still, even though we know that on some level about ourselves, we've forgotten it. It's been buried. And so I think a lot of us, our biggest fear really is failure and how we're going to look in front of others if we do step out and things don't turn out the way we think we wanted them to, or, you know, the way others approve. So I think underneath it all, even though we know that, we're more, we live more by what we think other people want or expect from us instead of from what we know is best for ourselves.
And I'm so glad you also brought up the fear of failure, because it's also another funny little thing. I mean, it's all these fears that we have are completely irrational. They logically do not make sense, because they aren't life-threatening things. But whenever I ask somebody to like define the fear of failure or what failure really means for them, they always find it really hard. It's like, it's just whatever the opposite of success is. So it's no money, it's no this, it's no that. But, you know, it's really hard to comprehend that in terms. And I think you need to do a lot of self-work to really find out what failure is. In my process, I was doing that and I was like, well, failure for me is really just not stepping up. It's being in that comfort zone. It's just really being a zombie. That kind of unemotional, undaring kind of life. And when you realize that is what failure is, or when I realized when that was what failure is for me, then it's like, well, there's no other choice but to keep moving forward and step courageously into magnificence, as you put it, or the supernova experience, as I put it, because then, you know, what is this block again? And I understand what you were saying beforehand. We've forgotten that. But I think that's part of the work that we all need to be doing to understand what that is for us, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think that's the key when you're saying about the work that we need to do. A lot of times people wait for circumstances to change or the people around them to change in order for their life experiences to change. And it doesn't work in that order at all. And, you know, because so you'll hear people say, well, as soon as, you know, if I were making more money, or, you know, if my partner would be this way instead of that way, or if my kids would do this instead of that, then I would be happy. Everything would be perfect. And that's an illusion. It's not the truth. I mean, really, it's not. I mean, because we have no control over what's happening outside of us. So as long as we keep putting our attention there, we become a victim of circumstance instead of being empowered by looking within and saying, okay, how do I want my experiences to be, and how can I respond to what is going on around me instead of reacting to it? And that's the big difference, because most of us react. And when we're reacting, we don't have power. We create a bigger mess usually.
Absolutely, we do. Yeah, we're approaching it from a desperation or an anger or some other emotion that really doesn't serve us, rather than responding to it and holding it for what it is, whether it's a lesson or maybe it's just a warning sign, like dead end for you, this is not where you're supposed to go, whatever that is.
And in order to be able to respond to a situation rather than react, we actually need to look at what our reactions are all about. Sometimes I call them triggers, you know, when we're triggered by certain events or certain things that people say or do, or what they don't say or don't do that we wish they did. I think by exploring our triggers and our reactions to things, that's where we learn more about ourselves and where within us are there still wounds that have not yet been healed, because that's what these reactions are all about. And they're very similar for most of us. A lot of times you can narrow them down to, you know, a few things like I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not capable. And that drives us in terms of how we're reacting to what's going on around us. So when you start to get to know yourself better and look inside, and that's what these exercises from the messages are all about, really connecting to the truth about who we are, not who we've come to believe about ourselves through our conditioning and our experiences, but who we really are, the magnificent beings that we are. When we start to really connect with that truth, then the reactions start to go away, because when we react, we're not coming from our true essence.
That's very, very true. And what kind of like reactions did you feel after having gone through the experience that you've gone through and now wanting to bring it into a book format? I'm sure there were some fears that came up for you in terms of putting this out there in the world.
Absolutely. There was, because there's fear of, well, first of all, you know, I think about family and friends, right? Your inner circle, it's like the mind often goes to, what are they going to think? You know, like, where's this coming from? And then, you know, there's some people in my extended family that are born again Christian. And I, you know, I had some fears that they're going to think that this might be coming from the devil. I mean, people have different ideas about stuff like this. And so I'm afraid to put myself out on Facebook because they all know who I am and, you know, they love me and everything. But I'm like, I had a fear of putting myself out there for, you know, some people to see me, and how were they going to react to that? And were they going to, you know, start thinking differently about me? And that was a real step in faith for me to think, okay, you know what, this is important. I need to start putting it out there because it's not about me, and I needed to put myself out of the way, basically, and realize that this isn't about me. This came through me, but not just for me. So I have a responsibility to put it out there. And so that, to me, is more important than whether or not I'm accepted by others.
Absolutely. And I love that kind of consciousness shift, because then it really becomes about living a purpose-centered life rather than an egocentric or a being like a brand, the way we normally think of it being a brand, and like having this enigma and all these kinds of things. It's just like, this is a way to, again, channel it. You're just a messenger.
I'm a messenger, exactly.
And it's streaming through you. It's streaming through lots of different people, and they're all picking up different fragments of this big eternal diamond, so to speak. And we're all telling different stories of it. But that's the way it comes about, and it's such a freeing experience, isn't it?
To then speak from that space. Yeah, and the thing is, I asked for this. Like I said, you know, I'm here, I'm ready. Like, what do you want? So they give this to me, and what am I going to say now? Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind. You know,
well, you asked for it.
Who am I going to? I'm going to argue with this. Like, I thought, you know what? I asked for this, and now I need to step up and deliver.
Exactly. You're not always going to get something that you like or you understand, but you're always going to get an answer.
Right, and it might not be comfortable.
It normally isn't.
No, but you know what? I've had so many experiences in my life stepping out of my comfort zone. I've jumped off so many cliffs, and the net always appeared. Always. Mm. So I have that to strengthen my faith and belief that I'm not going to fall flat on my face, even if I think I might.
And that's also such another important element, just having that courage to take that leap of faith and put yourself out there, because otherwise, you know, you could have all these messages banging on your doors and coming through and waking you up, but you don't do anything with them and you just mute them off.
Right, which happens a lot with people because there is fear that comes up. There's no question. But you know, the way that has supported me in jumping off these many cliffs throughout my life is, I would look at my life and where it was, and if it wasn't truly what I where I wanted it to be, if I wasn't feeling totally happy and fulfilled where I was, I knew I ultimately had a choice to make. If I stayed in that comfort zone, as we all hear about, where I'm familiar, even though I'm not happy, then this is it for me. It's not going to get any better. And when I would look at that and I think, is this really what I want for the rest of my life? Like, I'm not that old. Like, I might be only halfway through my life. Is this how I want to spend the next 50 years? You know, and that would give me some courage to think, you know, if I really follow my heart and my soul and what I really feel is within me, how could I ever fail? How could that ever be wrong or worse than where I'm at now? So that always gave me the courage to step off, because I knew I would have the support. I didn't know how or what it would look like at the time, but I thought it has to be there if I'm following my heart, and it always has been. That's reassuring.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Having that is vital, that support structure and that inner knowing. And just the other thing with the comfort zone, what you were saying, that some people, and I've had this experience as well, and sometimes I just look at myself and laugh at it, is when you want to jump off that cliff and you kind of go, well, I'm not happy right now, I need to change something drastically, then you're like, then all the little things that you were happy about, you start latching onto those things.
Sure.
That's just you coming back into that comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Well, if I jump, I'm going to lose that. And I think the big lesson is you take the best of what you want to take with you.
Absolutely.
The jumping off the cliff is literally dumping everything that doesn't work for you.
So you're not losing anything.
No, you're just gaining.
Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. You're losing what you don't really want.
Yeah.
You're
decluttering.
Yes, exactly, and starting fresh. But it's there's a real freedom, and it you know, it's still scary. It's not like some people will say, well, once you've done it a few times, jumped off the cliff, then it gets easier. I guess the trust and the faith part is easier, but it's still not easy. to do, because every situation is different and it's got its own fears and insecurities that will show up. So it still takes courage every time you step off that cliff.
Absolutely. Every cliff's completely different. Some of them are higher than others. Some of them are bigger than others. You never know what that next experience is going to be. And also, I guess once you're in that place of stepping off those cliffs, the leaps are just going to become greater and more exponential. It seems to me that it works that way.
Courage. You do get more courage as you go along as well. And
yes.
Sometimes I find it helpful to, you know, get support in jumping off the cliff. I don't always do it on my own.
Oh, that
can help. That just, you know, I've had coaches and counselors over the years that have really supported me in, you know, grounding myself and really getting connected to what I really want and what I'm capable of, and helping me take that leap.
No, that's such a pivotal thing, having that support structure, having people to hold you accountable, having somebody who understands the path, because it's so easy to just jump in for the sake of jumping in, and maybe it's even an addiction or an adrenaline state of mind just to simply jump, but there are jumps that can also be really critical for you. Not everything's going to be met with a net at the bottom.
Well, it depends on, again, what's behind the jump. Like, are you moving, like you said, are you just kind of jumping carelessly into a pit, you know, a lion's den? or is it the stirring of your heart and soul that's really pulling you in a particular direction that you're not sure what's on the other side, but you know that's where you're meant to go? Because that, for me, has been my experience many times, where I would just have this inner knowing, even though logically some of my choices made absolutely no sense to the outside world, it would look like I'm absolutely out of my mind. And the truth is, I had to be out of my mind, literally, in order to follow my heart.
Oh, I love the hidden metaphor behind that.
But it's never led me astray. I'm telling you, my life just keeps getting better and better. And I have so many people saying they live vicariously through me and they want my life. And it's like, but you can have this life, well, your life, you know, what it would be for you. We all have that opportunity and that potential if we're willing to look within and bring our magnificence out.
So speak into a little bit about the whole magnify your magnificence concept and what that means for you.
Well, even that, believe it or not, came to me because of my previous experience, as I mentioned, trying to come up with different business names that I could buy a domain and they were all taken. That was another thing I put out to the universe, to God. I said, you know, I'm not willing to try to figure out what to call this. So you're just going to have to tell me. So I actually had a pad of paper and a pen by the bed, because I thought if it happens through the night, I don't want to have to get up and write it down. So it was right there by my bed. And sure enough, it was, I don't know, 4 something in the morning. I woke up with that word in my head, magnify your magnificence. And I thought, wow, I like that. That really resonated with me. And then I thought, well, I was still skeptical, you know, I just thought, well, we'll see when I get up in the morning if that domain actually is available. I doubted it. And I was quite shocked and pleasantly surprised that it was available. And of course, I bought it right away. So the Magnify Your Magnificence was the name. And then what's really interesting is when I went back and was reading the messages again, the word magnificence was throughout these messages. I never noticed it. And I thought, oh, isn't that something? It was right at the beginning. It was everywhere. And I didn't even see it, like, until after this came to me through the middle of the night. And I'm like, okay, this, because it really is all about each of us are magnificent beings. We've forgotten who we are. And for those who are ready to find the truth about who they are so that they can really live their life from that place and create a magnificent life from that place, it is available. And this process can really help people get there. It's one of many. I mean, there's lots of tools and books and all kinds of things out there for different people. And you know what's interesting, that was one of the things that was holding me back at one point, because I thought, well, there's already so much information out there about people finding themselves and, you know, connecting to their truth, and what do they need another book or whatever. And what I got, you know, when I really connected and meditated on that, was that, you know, yes, there's a lot out there, and there's so many people out there that can only hear things from certain people. And what's coming through this book, there's people waiting for it and will only hear it through this voice or through what I have to share. And that's why I have a responsibility to put myself out there and not compare myself to, you know, other people that are already doing this kind of work, because different people will be attracted to different energies. And there are people that are going to be attracted to me and to what I have to offer and might not be to someone else, and vice versa. So it's not about a competition thing. We're all in this world together. It's a collaborative, cooperative process. And the more of us out there helping each other, the better the world will be.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to quickly jump back a sec and just kind of say that I think we're cosmic twins, because just the fact that word magnificence was coming up for you, and that, you know, your story and your ultimate purpose kept evolving and showing up in front of you. I had that same experience going back to, like, on my old blog posts when I kind of understood the term supernova, but I never really held it in the highest way. And I was like, wow, like 3 years ago I was using this word in that kind of a sense already. And it was just this kind of amazing, amazing thing. But also going back to what you just said a little bit now, in terms of that whole process, it is so important to have that. And it's so important for people to realize that there's something unique that they can only offer the world.
Absolutely.
Because that's one of the big cop-ups. It's like, you get this message, you're doing this work, and you're like, oh no, everyone's on it. Everyone's on the same bandwagon. And I mean, I'm seeing it now. Like, there's other people kind of talking similar things to the supernova concept. And I'm like, you know, is it too late? Is it too this?
Yes.
I'm like, no, it's not. This is the awakening. This is the big awakening. And everyone's speaking into it in so many different ways. But your voice needs to be heard.
Absolutely. Everyone's voice needs to be heard, because, and it's not necessarily that everyone's going to have a book or a business. The voice could be for their children. I mean, the impact on that is like infinite. So it's not about how many people we reach. It's just about showing up and being who we are and shining our light and let it reach whomever it's meant to reach. It's not our job to figure that out. I've learned I don't need to figure it out. I just need to show up.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Show up.
It really does start with showing up, trusting, and just doing the right work, following your heart.
Absolutely.
That's really beautiful. Well, the book, I mean, you say you don't really know where it's at. Do you have kind of an estimated time where you think you'll be launching it, like before the end of the year or early?
I'll probably be doing something with it before the end of the year. I need to really connect within and see if the book needs to come out first or to offer it as a coaching program, because the book has got a lot in it. And I mean, some people will be able to just take the book and read it and work through the exercises, but I've given copies of the book to a few people to kind of be with it. And what I'm finding is that because it can be intense, it can be easy to start it and then not continue, if you know what I mean. So I may create it as a group coaching program and give the book for free, but work with people through the process of going through the exercises so they can really, so that it really has value. Because if someone just buys the book and, you know, reads a couple chapters or whatever, it's not really going to do much.
They could still get value out of those couple of chapters.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm giving the first six for free right now on my website, so people can really connect with and see whether or not the messages speak to them. Because, again, it's not going to be for everyone. It's you know, I don't know who it's for. People will find it, and it'll either resonate with them or not. But I will do something with it before the end of the year. It'll be an ebook. I may offer it as an ebook and as a coaching program. I'm still in process with that.
Well, I'm sure you'll get a message on the right way to do that. But
exactly.
I think that the book and the e-course, I mean, they can really complement each other, and there'll be people who will start with the book and they'll take it to their depth.
That's right.
Whether it's chapter one or chapter three or the end of the book. Some people will run with it and not need coaching thereafter.
Yeah.
And there'll be some people who'll be like, even after chapter three, will go, I need extra guidance on this. Take me on to the next step. So
that's true. We're all in different places.
That.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for reminding me of that.
It's such a big thing. I think we're constantly trying to get that perfect thing and it ready for everyone, and you know, everyone's going to meet it in their own space.
Absolutely.
They may not be coachable right now. They may not be ready to make that commitment, and that can't be forced on them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to. I'll get onto the website and download those couple of chapters and have a read through them, because they sound really, really inspiring.
Oh, I look forward to your feedback as well.
Well, is there anything else that you really want to kind of put out there, whether it is about the book or the work that you're doing? Like, is there any kind of message that you feel like right now has kind of been aching within you that you just feel that people really need to hear?
Yeah, what it would be is that you are so much more than who you think you are. And once you unravel and uncover, you know, the diamond within, it's pretty quite remarkable. I think the main thing is that you are so much more than who you think, and you're not who other people think you are. Or even who you think you are in this moment. It's so much bigger, more than you can imagine.
That's true. I was actually reading, the synchronicity is amazing. Seriously, we are twins. I was reading quotes for a blog post that I was doing, and I was trying to get a Yoda quote, the do, but there's no try, that one.
Yes, yes.
And I came across one that he says, luminous beings we all are, not this pile of mush.
Yes.
And it's just like, we think we're our body, we think we're our skill sets, we think we're our capabilities or our non-capabilities or
our
personalities
limitations.
And our limitations
yes.
and our beliefs and our fashion sense and, you know, all these physical three-dimensional things or things that make up that three dimension for us. And as you said, I mean, a diamond is just such a beautiful metaphor, because there's this rock. We start off with this rock, but within that is something so magical. And within that, and if you really go beyond the potential of what this piece of rock can be, then you find the true magic in who you really are.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And we are all that. We're all that brilliant diamond.
We are. That is so true. Well, Marissa, how can people connect with you and subscribe to those first six chapters of your book and follow your journey?
The best way is to go to my website, which is www.magnifyyourmagnificence.com.
Brilliant. So I'll double up and add that link into the bottom of the podcast.
Wonderful.
Make sure that people connect. And we're on the Divine Biz giveaway, and I know you're giving out something amazing there. So can you just speak a little bit into that?
Sure.
Is that also the six chapters?
No, that's different, actually. That's a book, a complete book that I wrote that's not even offered on my website right now. It's exclusively just on the Divine Giveaway at the moment. I will offer it later once the giveaway is complete. But that's a book called How to Find the Path to the Life You Want. And the subtitle is Break Free from the Biggest Lies You've Accepted as Truth. And it's pretty powerful too, because, and it only has some of the lies, because there's more even in the book that came through the messages book. We've bought into a lot of lies. And if you're curious, you'll have to go to the giveaway. I think it's on page 3 or 4 right now.
Oh, brilliant.
General downloads. But so that's what I'm offering there.
Well, that's really exciting. I'll make sure to add the links, because, I mean, that as we were speaking about it before we started the podcast, the Divine Business Giveaway is just chock-a-blocked with these amazing gifts for entrepreneurs to help them on a spiritual level, help them with their business, help them with their personal life. And I think it's just such a great platform for so many people to connect, and it helped us connect. So
yeah, absolutely. I think that's wonderful. I've made some wonderful connections through that.
Which goes back to what you were saying again earlier about collaboration.
Yes. Yes. We're all here to help each other. There's no competition. It's an abundant world. It's an abundant world.
Yeah. No, I love that. Like the energy of competing with another person is just so draining.
Yeah.
And icky. And it's just like, why even go there? And I was chatting to a couple friends, and there's this possible event that we're looking at putting together. And coming from the events background, like, I always used to look at, you know, what other events are coming up in terms of competition, like, you know, which days are strategically good days. And, like, I just remembered myself doing that, and I'm like, what's the point? I mean, there's always going to be something on, for starters. And it's like, why do we want to be in that competitive environment? Just like, why don't we just all compliment each other?
Absolutely. That feels so much better to me.
It's just so much freeing. It's just like, oh, weight off your shoulder.
Yes. You don't have to be better than anybody. Just be you.
And the magic in actually being you is, if everyone was just themselves, the world would be such a better place, and everyone would be better for it.
Absolutely. It would just be
a different kind of better. Well, I'm sure we could carry on chatting forever.
Probably.
Just like go back to the beginning and go through the onion layers on it. But we're going to have to leave the Supernova listeners in over there.
Okay.
So thanks to everyone who tuned in, and looking forward to continuing this journey with all of you as we tune into greatness. Well, it doesn't get any more awesome than connecting with a soul sister like Marissa. Thanks again so much for being on this podcast. One of the big takeaways that I think really resonated throughout this podcast is the awakeness and the awareness of what story is unfolding, because very often the world, the universe, your inner Nova is giving you clues, and we don't always know how to piece it all together, but when we do, isn't it just so much simpler? So in this coming week, I want you to reflect on what clues the world has been giving you, where you have been having a gravitational pull, and what is the message behind that. Don't get caught up in the story and the experience of it, because that can be tainted. But what is the heart behind that? What is the message behind that? What is the purpose behind that? Because if you do that, you're on tune to stepping into your own greatness. For more information on how you can step into greatness, head on over to www.lenaski.com.